Squadron Leader Jack Steele and the Starblade.
Hello and welcome to Starblade Unsheathed, Episode 2. This week we're going to be talking to the production team. So going from my left.
Hi, I'm Wayne Bolt again, same from last week.
And what was it you did?
General coming up of the idea with James in the pub and then sort of producing it, really.
Okay. Mm. On the right we have James.
Hi, yeah, James Harvey. I'm a producer, am I? Indeed. Some of the original story concept and also the amazing, indefatigable Charlie Bilkins.
I don't think I ever called him indefatigable in the script.
Well, he was, definitely.
Right, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt.
I'm Lou, and to be fair, even though it sounds really bad, I mostly think I made tea as far as production is concerned, because I was the voice of Yvette otherwise, so these guys did all the hard work and I just went, well done!
And I'm Chris Burdett, and I was here last week as well.
So Jack Steele was produced by It's a Trap. Other than being a line said by a famous Mon Calamari admiral, who or what is It's a Trap?
Well, It's a Trap is the moniker we use for the group of us who in our time have run and coordinated and live-action role-playing events, movies, well, I say movies, a movie which is still in post-production.
Rather than B movies.
event trailers, all sorts of bits and pieces. It's like the name of our gang, really. But we're more like the Red Hand gang than a gang of youths.
And It's a Trap fitted quite nicely on a T-shirt, so with a good three-colour combo.
I think beer was involved, actually.
Beer was
when
definitely
it comes down
involved.
To it.
Yeah,
it was definitely beer.
Yes. So a little bit of this and that, and beer. So, where did the idea of an audio drama come from?
I've always fancied the idea of... I really like the Flash Gordon, Buck Rogers kind of RKO film serials, which I used to see on the TV when I was young. Basically, the idea of doing it as audio seemed much easier than doing it as a 13-part TV dramatisation.
More on the lines of the old Lost in Space radio dramas and things like that.
And to be fair, audio is a little easier to produce than film. A little
just,
easier.
Yeah, just a bit. Yeah.
Well, we did have the acting talent, obviously, available, but...
Yeah. Now, we're belittling radio in any way. It's just way easier. Yeah. And more comfortable, because Chris's room is very comfortable.
Right, so once you decided you were going to do an audio drama, where did the Jack Steele concept come from?
Well, again, we're looking at James and Wayne here because...
Yeah, well,
and
was beer involved?
We had an epiphany in the pub.
Pint of epiphany.
It wasn't one pint. There were probably several pints involved. But there's a mixture of origins. I think it was developed over several evenings.
Mm.
Again, going back to the original, what we wanted as a concept of the old Flash Gordon movies. A dramatic name and on the names of Jack Steele.
But doing it British. I
doing
mean,
it British,
wanted,
yeah. British, very much a British old REF, old boys club type affair with a trusty sidekick and, well, I hesitate to use the word floozy, but...
I should think so.
Yeah. Talented French scientist, Yvette, and the rest of the team as well, all came into being, really, in the pub.
So, once you had the concept down, Chris then got involved with the writing, and I think Tom Butterworth as well, the writing?
Yes, originally, Tom and I both produced a script to kind of give an idea of how we'd approach the script writing for the benefit of the producers. And the idea we came up with was that we'd alternate scripts, so I'd do series episode 1, he'd do episode 2, and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, due to various other commitments that Tom has, he wrote about half of episode 1 in the end, and then I just took over from there. He does, of course, feature as Rasputin. He did come back and lend his talents in that fashion.
So from that point on, you were lead writer throughout the whole series?
Yes, one and only, although I must admit that my... my writing has been quite substantially edited by Pete Ayer, who went through and put a few commas in where there should have been some, although not enough, as it turned out, when we started doing the recording. It turns out that something, a sentence you can read on the page quite easily, when you're trying to speak it, you do need to breathe at times.
Did you have any sort of background in radio writing?
Not really, no. Well, I say not really, I mean, no. No, I didn't.
But you have written quite a lot of stuff.
Bits and pieces here and there. I've always enjoyed writing, but this was my first real stab at doing scripts of any sort.
So presumably there's quite a learning curve to figuring out the format and how to approach it.
Yes, mainly to do with commas.
Okay, so as well as commas, what other technical research was required?
Well, seeing as we'd never recorded a podcast before, there was a lot of looking into what hardware, software, equipment we'd need. Luckily, we had Frank Redding on hand, who's done some recording before.
There's a lot of work that went into working out how to do sound effects as well, wasn't there? Jumping off walls and...
Yes.
Revving car engines and slamming doors and all sorts of things.
It's very easy to write down on a page, there's a big explosion, followed by a whooshing noise, followed by beeps and crackles, and then you have to find the effects when you're actually producing it, and it takes a little while longer.
Wayne was good wind, though.
Wayne was good wind.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes.
The wind.
I am the wind. Yes. Uncredited in episode one, when Arthur and Merlin are having their initial dialogue, is that Wayne Bolt did star as the wind in the background.
Mm.
Right, so once you had everything prepared, obviously you need to figure out a way to get people to actually listen to it, and you went for the podcast route and to serialise it. Was it always the intention to do a serial, or did you think maybe just doing one large thing to begin with?
Well, the original intent was to do 12 episodes, I think, wasn't it, James?
It was, yeah, 12. Yes, definitely 12 episodes. However, 6 was a more manageable chunk in the end to deal with as a learning experience before we go on to the next 6.
Plus, with serialising it, you get the whole advantage of the anticipation, which is something we probably all remembered from listening to radio shows when we were younger, is that you have an episode where very little happens, which is not the case in ours, but you just spend ages listening to it, and then you wait a whole week for the next one to find what's going to happen. That whole anticipation is part of the fun.
So how long did it actually take to get from the original concept back in the pub to the start of production?
To the start of production, I think about 18 months, if not more.
Hmm. Yeah, it was a long period of research that was required, so it did take a while, but... that was partly due to other commitments, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We didn't get straight into it.
Once you actually got to the recording stage, was there a strict hierarchy to who was in charge of what? Like, did you have the director and the writer, and you stuck to those roles, or was it more fluid?
Fluid. I like fluid.
fluid is a positive word. Chaotic is a negative word. Let's go with fluid.
I think it was Chris and myself took it in turns as to whoever was in the recording studio, or as Lisa already pointed out, Chris's back room. He was there at the time to actually try and give a bit of direction to the actors, but to be honest, we didn't really do much directing. I think that the script said it all, and the actors filled it out beautifully.
And I guess some of the actors had been involved in various ways from quite an early stage anyway, so they were quite familiar with the idea already.
I think so. I think most of the actors were aware of at least the nature of the character they were playing, if not more. They're fairly stereotyped roles, so it wasn't too hard to get into character.
We'll hear more about the actors next week. So, you've got 2 episodes out the door and released. How does that feel?
Relief. I think to get them out and about, we're still learning bits and pieces about how to get the news out there about it, but yeah, relief and contentment almost.
Yes.
It's very satisfying, isn't it, to actually have them out there and seeing it all come together and get a bit of feedback from people who have actually listened to it as well.
It's nice to think that something that we spent a while doing to kind of entertain ourselves in a way is now out there to entertain someone else who's not been involved all this time, and they can get some enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, how much fear was there leading up to the release of the first episode as to whether people would actually like it or not?
I think after there was a fair amount of, not concern, and certainly not fear, but interest on how it's actually going to be received. But personally, I was quite gratified. We did a pre-launch party on the Saturday before the first episode was released, when we had virtually all the cast and crew, and selected others who came along and listened to the whole show. And the fact that it went down quite well, and people were laughing at the bits they were supposed to laugh at, and they were laughing at bits they weren't supposed to laugh at, which is even better. It kind of gave, well, me personally, the sort of big confidence boost that actually it was going to be worthwhile putting out there.
So in some ways you've already accomplished what you set out to do, and anything from here is
bonus. Yeah, we didn't really have massive expectations, did we? It was more an exercise to see if we could do it. Now we know we can, maybe we'll increase our horizons somewhat and see if we can get a bit further with it, I think.
And no matter what actually happens to it, through the podcast and so on, it continues to entertain us, so it's all good.
So although main production has finished, because all six episodes have been recorded in advance, presumably the producing team is still quite hard at work actually getting people to listen to the thing.
Yes, I kind of thought that it would be a case of, right, day one, release, now we can just sit back and every week release the next episode. But no, there's a few more things to do. Not least, as you say, publicising it and getting out there.
Hopefully subscribing via iTunes will provide a good number of...
Well, yeah, we got to number 55 at one point last week in the iTunes podcast list.
For a couple of hours. but, you know, that's...
those are important hours.
Exactly. We were ahead of quite a lot of fairly famous names at that stage.
How difficult is it and how time-consuming to sort of coordinate the Jack Steele website and iTunes and all the other bits and pieces all over the place?
It's not that tricky. The main thing is just reminding people, and this is what I'm noticing, is that with a podcast, you've got to try and keep reminding people throughout the week that the next episode's coming.
At least to begin with, until they get a bit more used to it, a bit more hooked, as it were.
Yeah. But I did a lot on the Jack Steele site before we released it. There's always little modifications we're doing. We've now added Squadron of Jack Steele and the Star blog, which is our blog on our website, so go along and visit that. We'll be putting up bits and pieces like more outtakes and details of our merchandise that's coming soon.
So how advanced is Series 2? Is there, are there ideas for it? Is there a plot?
There's a lot of ideas floating around, but they need to be... congealed into a sensible sort of storyline at the moment.
Yeah, well, we'll head down the It's a Trap office.
Yeah, very shortly.
Yeah, and
another pint of epiphany.
But I can't really go into the concepts at the moment because it would give away too much about perhaps the end of these six episodes. But
perhaps after episode six.
Yes, there'll be definite new horizons breached.
It will go very much more along the lines of what we intended the series to be right from the get go.
Yeah, this is like the warm up now, isn't it? Before we blast off into something completely new.
Next week we have episode 3, a history lesson. What have we got to look forward to in that?
Well, it's a lesson about history.
Is that where we have a lesson in cutlery as well? I can't remember.
I think that is, we do have a lesson in cutlery next week as well.
Very valuable and something just for life in general, actually, not just Jack Steele.
An educational episode.
Yes,
quite so.
Excellent. When's that available?
Monday the 15th of September.
Excellent. Right. Well, I think that's it for episode 2 of Starblade Unsheathed. Thanks to everyone for listening. This week we learnt that Chris learned how to use commas during the production and that Wayne likes fluid. We'll have episode 3 of Starblade Unsheathed sometime next week.
And thanks to Simon for coming and asking our questions for us.
Next week on Starblade Unsheathed, we'll have a winner t-shirt competition and also we'll be meeting the actors. So, from all of us here at It's a Trap Towers, goodbye!
Bye!
Bye!
I don't know why I said towers.
Bye!